Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Tuesday, February the 10th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, we hear from the wife of a Dartford man who's been left in hospital after a routine operation to remove his tonsils. A new exhibition opens at Rochester Cathedral. And hear from the pub bosses following a £200,000 renovation. But first, this is our top story today. A driver's been treated in hospital after suffering a seizure at the wheel and crashing into a tree before reportedly being dragged from his vehicle and attacked. Well, reporter Brad Harper has been covering this story and joins me on the podcast. Brad, thanks ever so much for being on the episode. Firstly, can you tell us exactly what happened to Louis Watkins?
So Louis says while the crash itself did not leave him injured, the alleged attack afterwards meant he was blue lighted to hospital. He suffered multiple injuries, including a black eye, cuts to his face and other injuries on his body. Louis was taken to Medway Maritime Hospital, where he spent about 6 hours being treated in a trauma ward. He had a CT scan, as medics thought he had internal bleeding, but thankfully it came back clear. He was told to take 2 weeks off work to recover at home.
Now, Louis told us he has epilepsy. What are the rules around driving if you've got that condition?
So, if your seizures never affect your consciousness, the driving agency may allow you to drive without being seizure-free, but you must be seizure-free for a set period, usually about 12 months, before you're allowed on the road. The driving agency will need full information about what happens to you during your seizures before deciding if you can drive. These rules exist because a seizure can cause loss of control behind the wheel, presenting a risk to the driver and others. They're designed to keep everyone safer on the road.
And finally, Brad, what have police been able to tell you?
Police are appealing for dashcam footage following the incident. The force says a 47-year-old man was arrested at the scene. He has been released on conditional bail, pending further inquiries.
Brad, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and tributes have been paid to a Rochester man who died in a motorbike crash on the M2. James McFarlane was involved in a collision on the London-bound carriageway between junctions 5 and 4 on January the 4th. An inquest has been opened into the 29-year-old's death. He's been remembered as a deeply loved son, brother, daddy, partner and friend. A former employee at a Kent school has been found guilty of historic abuse against a child. Mark Slade is understood to have worked at St Crispin's Infant School in Westgate-on-Sea between 2020 and 2022. It's believed his offending predates his time at the school. The 57-year-old from Buckingham Road in Margate was convicted of several offences last month and will be sentenced at a later date. Two people have been arrested after reports a man in his 50s was attacked during a robbery near Dover. Officers taped off part of Grasmere Way in Aylsham after the alleged assault in the early hours of January the 31st. A man and woman aged 29 and 24 have now been released on bail while inquiries continue. A Dover woman who harassed a police officer who investigated her has avoided being sent to prison. Sharon Parry contacted the PC in March last year, then started sending abusive messages, phone calls and voicemails. The 53-year-old from Dorset Gardens in Walmer has been handed a suspended sentence and a restraining order, meaning she can't contact the officer for 5 years. Now, a Kent MP is among those today supporting the Prime Minister as he insists he's not going anywhere. Sir Keir Starmer survived a very difficult day yesterday after the Lord Mandelson scandal led to calls for his resignation. The Prime Minister was due to chair a meeting today. Well, we've been speaking to Polly Billington, who's a Labour MP in East Thanet.
I think what the Epstein files reveal is a culture where women are only in the room to be exploited or ignored. And if you want to, and that ends up with bad decisions being made. So not only do we need to be thinking primarily of the victims and their bravery in speaking up, which has enabled us to be in a situation where we could pursue justice for those victims, we also need to think about the wider culture which enables, either passively or actively, this kind of behaviour to continue. So I will always be pressing for, in public life, there to be more opportunities for people, for women in particular, to be making decisions and for men no longer to exclude women out of those places, because if they do that, they're probably going to be making the wrong decisions.
There have been some quite serious calls today for changes at the very top in number 10. What do you think?
Well, again, I have said there are a lot of women in the Labour Party who are very keen to make sure that Keir Starmer is the best possible Prime Minister he can be. And we offer our services at every opportunity, right now especially, to enable him to be able to revive his prospects and to give us the opportunity to focus on the reason why we are here, which is that the British people gave us a mandate to change this country for the better. And that includes stability, it includes competence, and it includes a fairer society. And those are the things that we all need to be focused on.
Absolutely. You mentioned there the 5-year mandate. So you're happy with Sir Keir Starmer staying within his role and getting that support around him?
What I have said is that Keir Starmer should be aware of the fact that he has got the backing and support of a lot of wise and experienced people, particularly women, who are ready to help him ensure that this government is the most successful one it can be.
Kent Online reports.
Next today, and while we're all creating those ChatGPT caricatures, a leading social media expert in Kent has told us it's essential young people are taught about AI and how to spot fake content online. Safer Internet Day this year is all about how to use the tech responsibly. While it can speed up some tasks, it's also been used to spread misinformation. I've been chatting to consultant Zoe Cairns, who's based in Medway.
AI as a tool in general to help, in terms of knowledge and information, can in some ways be really great. It's great to save time, it's great to find out about something. But in another aspect, it can also be that, is the information it's telling us, is it true? Is it fake? What information are we giving it as well? Are we giving it too much personal information? Because you never know how that's going to be used. So from there's pros and cons to it. But when it comes to young people, it's about really being aware about what they're actually doing with AI is key.
Yeah, and you mentioned there about working out whether things are true or not. I mean, I've taken a double look at pictures and thought, is that genuine? Where do we even start? Does this start at a school level in teaching children about AI and its positives and negatives?
Most definitely. I think it definitely should be part of the curriculum. We know I've said this for many years around social media, leaving it right to, sixth form, understanding LinkedIn to develop your career, I think is way into long in school. And I now know when you talk about safeguarding leads, they will say that it's very much integrated into younger years. But I definitely think AI should be part of that curriculum and the understanding around what is it, how does it work, what are the pros and cons, and what do they really need to be made aware of. And even having through the curriculum, having evenings for parents to come in, because even parents and guardians, people that are looking after younger ones, don't fully understand AI either.
And from your point of view, Zoe, obviously you're dealing with technology on a daily basis. How difficult is it to tell if something is real or not, or if it has been generated?
Well, you can look at it. You can look at it twice and think, "Oh, I wouldn't know whether that's AI or not." But now a lot of the platforms are asking that you declare if it's AI generated or not. A lot of people are still not doing that, but I think now a lot of the platforms now are integrating into the algorithms, detecting whether it's AI. But a lot has slipped through the net. You'll look at things that have gone viral and you think, is that AI or not? So. You do have to make sure that you do your research correctly and you're looking at the right sources online as well.
And what about for young people who want to use the platforms? I should think something like ChatGPT is probably the easiest one, maybe, for them to get on their phone. There are some funny things on it. I'm sure over the past few days, everyone's been creating their caricatures. But should they be using them so that they know what they're capable of? Will that help them in the long term to identify things that aren't real?
Yeah, I think if they're educated and they know what different tools do what, I think it'll make them more aware of what actually they sh how the the right way in which they should be using it and in what how they're then presenting that on the different platforms as well, I think is really important.
Well, following a review of the national curriculum, primary children are due to be taught about how to spot things like fake news. Those lessons will come into effect from September 2028. A man has appeared in court over break-ins at several businesses on Rochester High Street. John Saunders targeted the Queen Charlotte pub before forcing his way into the Cheese Room Botanicals in the early hours of New Year's Day. The 45-year-old from Church Street in the town admitted the offences and has been granted bail until he's sentenced next month. A children's park near Dover has been vandalised just months after a major refurbishment. £88,000 was spent on the Markwood site in Walmer last year. Graffiti's now been sprawled across the equipment. Bosses say they're aware and will be cleaning it. Tributes have been paid to a former Kent head teacher who's died at the age of 99. John George Davies led Eastling Primary near Faversham for more than 20 years. Former pupils say he was a brilliant man who took no nonsense. The husband and daughter of an Ashford woman who died following a 10-year battle with cancer are planning a skydive to raise funds for the hospice that cared for her. Carol Bailey was first diagnosed with breast cancer in February 2013 and passed away on Christmas Day at Pilgrim's Hospice. Mark and Georgia have described the staff there as extraordinary, gentle, understanding and endlessly kind. The skydive is planned for July. Now, a Dartford dad has been left in intensive care for weeks after undergoing a routine tonsillectomy. Cardiff Dick DeCann had the procedure at Medway Maritime, but after several bleeding episodes during his recovery, he went to the Princess Royal University Hospital in Farnborough. The 37-year-old underwent another operation, but then suffered a reaction to medication, which left him in the ICU. Reporter Charlotte Phillips has been speaking to Cardiff's wife, Jessica.
This event actually came out as a surprise for us. So it's just merely a simple tonsillectomy procedure. Like, he's had his tonsils taken and then he's had this massive bleed and then everything, like, it's got turned up upside down. So he has to stay here for like 2 weeks. He has to be intubated because after the bleed was controlled, he developed a severe reaction to the steroid to help control the swelling. So that's when he gets so agitated to the point that he has to be intubated again to keep him safe. So with that happening, the uncertainty, all the medications that he has to take, him lying down there, and then I've got 3 kids. I've got a 10, an 8-year-old, and I have an 8-month-old, so I just basically just given birth. So it's been totally distressing, but I'm just grateful that my family, I've got my sister, I've got my aunt next door, my friends. So they came over, give me groceries, offered to help with the baby so I can come here. So I come here every day. Waiting for that time that he can come up and then just to be at his side when he wakes up. So it's really, really, I really can't explain, but now at least all those distress has been replaced with relief and happiness.
Yes, no, of course. And looking at the GoFundMe now, I think at that point your husband was still in the ICU when that was written. What's happened kind of since you've written that? What's the latest with his condition and his
still in ITU, so they just took out the tube. So they're slowly weaning down those medications to keep him calm, because for the past few days he's been really agitated. I think it's mainly because of that side effect of that or reaction to that drug. So they're slowly weaning down those medications, and I can actually talk to him now, more oriented, but at the same time he's still very weak. He can't actually take in solid foods yet, so that it's just seeping water.
And do you know how much longer at this stage he's going to be in hospital for?
They haven't given a timeline yet, but with what is going on, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks more, because they said they have to start a rehab because he still can't stand on his own yet. He's really weak. His extremities are so weak. He managed to talk, but his voice is still really soft. And then after a f maybe few hours, he gets too tired, so he still has to really bounce back. He's still 100%.
Now, a link to the GoFundMe set up to support the family is within the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online reports.
You've been given the chance to see the latest plans for a derelict theatre in Kent. The Winter Gardens in Margate has been boarded up since 2022, but since then, a company has been chosen to bring it back to life. Westwood One Theatre say the venue's performance space will be reopened. There are also plans for a nursery, rooftop restaurant and drama school. Chinese New Year celebrations are set to return to Canterbury for 2026. The annual festival of food, dancing and music draws people from across the county. This year, it'll be held on Sunday, March the 1st at the Simon Langton Boys Grammar. A new exhibition is opening at Rochester Cathedral today, aiming to make us think about our human impact on the environment. Three giant whale sculptures have been created using recycled netting and will be hanging from the nave. You can see them from today until March the 7th. Lucy's been chatting to Simon Lace, who's the Chief Operating Officer at the Cathedral.
Whales is an exhibition by a British artist called Tessa Campbell-Fraser. She's quite a well-known artist and has got work represented in collections all over the world, including the Royal Collection in this country. What she's most famous for is producing sculptures, large-scale sculptures of animals. And her work in the last few years has really focused on conservation and the environment. So she has produced a sculpture, an interactive sculpture of three sperm whales sleeping. So they're basically hanging in the void, nose up. These are giant sculptures. They look amazing in the cathedral, and they're hanging from the cathedral, the ceiling in the cathedral's nave. And we're inviting people to come along and admire them and to think about, you know, the human impact on the environment. When people walk in, they'll see three giant whales hanging from the ceiling. They're about 30 feet long, each of them. They are sperm whales, so they're gigantic sculptures. Obviously, they'll be dangling way above head height, but they'll hang from the ceiling, and people can sort of wander around them and admire them from lots of different angles. In the evening, we'll be lowering the lighting in the cathedral, and we'll be illuminating the whales. So there'll be lots of different things to see. We're also having concerts underneath them as well. So, you know, when people come along, they'll be able to admire these things. They're made of lightweight materials, so they're not hugely heavy. They're quite difficult to hang, I have to say. So we're having quite a, or we had quite a, an experience getting them up. But they do look incredible. I think people will really enjoy it. And of course, it's on over half term. So when people do come along with their families, lots of children, there'll be lots of things for them to see. So I think families, particularly and children, will love it.
So how beneficial is it to run these exhibitions to bring more people into the cathedral? Because it's not the first time you've had these kind of sculptures. Similar ones like the moon and the earth have been there before, haven't they?
They have. We've done lots of this kind of thing now. We started a new programme of public engagement about 7 or 8 years ago, actually just before COVID. And the idea was that we wanted to introduce the cathedral to a whole range of people who wouldn't normally want to go to a church. And I think we've been very successful in doing that. You know, we've had lots of new people coming to Rochester Cathedral who otherwise wouldn't have wanted to come. And we've introduced them to the space, which is an amazing, beautiful, sacred space. And then they've come back for other things, sometimes even for services. I mean, last year was our busiest year on record. We had 250,000 people visit Rochester Cathedral to see exhibitions, to tour the building, to enjoy the space and to attend services. We've never had that many people in the cathedral before. I can absolutely guarantee that. Right from 900 years ago, this building has never had 250,000 people through its doors. And we know that raising awareness does bring people to worship, because we had one of our busiest Christmases ever. We had 1,400 people at the Christmas Eve service, which again is a record. So it is working, and lots of cathedrals are doing this now. So introducing people to this space will bring them back and make them aware. And everything we do, other than events and concerts in the evening, everything we do is free. Admission to the cathedral is free. Admission to see all the exhibitions, all the various events we do during the day is all free.
Kent Online News.
And Asda supermarket in Folkestone has come under fire for installing a sign which advertises attractions more than 100 miles away. Shoppers at the branch in Bouverie Place reported seeing ads for places such as Didcot Railway and Cineworld in Oxfordshire. Pictures of the mix-up have been posted on socials. You can also see them at Kent Online. Bosses in Dartford have agreed to spend around £2 million on a new footbridge over the River Darrent. The public walkway connecting Overy Street and the station approach will be upgraded, with the timber structure starting to show signs of wear and tear. There's no timeline yet, but in the meantime, £30,000 will be spent on repairs. A former bank in Herne Bay could be turned into apartments and a shop. The Santander on Mortimer Street closed in July last year. Developers want to convert the building into four homes and a smaller store. And a village pub has reopened following a £200,000 renovation. The Five Bells in Lower Horling has been closed for the past 5 weeks, so work can be carried out. It now has a new bar along with furniture and flooring. You can see pictures at Kent Online, and our reporter Ellie Hodgson has been along to get a sneak peek. She's been chatting to General Manager Craig Tinham and Front of House Manager Harriet Mitchell.
After New Year, we had a big party, and then we shut on January 4th for a five-week project. The builders come in the 1 week, they did 2.5 weeks worth of work, so the date got pushed forward to the 7th instead of the 14th of February, which gives us a week till Valentine's Day, which is our first big 10-post event. And we've had a wall removed, toilets broken down into pure plumbing, literally pipes hanging out, brand new tiles, brand new lights, brand new windows, brand new doors. Brand new outdoor seating area, brand new taps, brand new lines.
Yeah, that's my favourite bit, is the cellar. A whole completely new cellar. Like, Heineken came in, refitted, all new cellar boys. So I'm really excited about that bit.
It's going to be the freshest beer you could ever taste. It's never going to be used. It's all shiny new out the factory, I think. It was manufactured January 7th or 8th. It was commissioned, and it's been installed on the 24th. So it's ready to roll.
How much have you invested, and why have you put so much invested?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's actually the locals here, for one.
It is the locals. So when we took on the pub in April, we were going to use it as a training centre, because it's a beautiful pub with a big garden and has a lot of capacity. And then the locals came out and they love it. It's a proper village pub with a good local vibe that took us in, and we took their advice. And they were like, why don't you do this? How about this? Let's have some live music. Let's have this. And then we put on a live music event. There was 500 people in this garden, which is the capacity. And they just kept coming back. And every time they gave us a suggestion, we did it. Like, oh, can we have Stella on draft? Yes. We got Stella, and it's one of our top sellers, for example. Can we have Tia Maria as the spirit instead of Kahlua? Of course we can. We got that. And we sell 3 bottles a week. The village is made by the locals. And without them, we wouldn't even bother with, you know, £200,000, I think, all in. And it's all come from the local people, literally coming back with families. Nice, you know, it's just a good vibe.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Punjab United have been handed a home fixture in their quarter-final FA Vars game. The Gravesend-based side are the only team left in the competition after beating Fisher 2-0 at the weekend. They play Downton on February the 28th. And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu's physical struggles have continued as she was forced to retire from the first round match at the Qatar Open. The British number one from Orpington received on-court treatment before pulling out in the third set against Camila Osorio from Colombia. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.